You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Authority has to be exercised with love or it becomes tyranny. Many people find themselves uncomfortable with love.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father too, by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, make us comfortable with your love, and help us to be comfortable with love for one another. As you graciously forgive our sins, give us also that new spirit and life in which we receive and give love graciously, without fear, and generously, that enemies may become friends, and friends may become better friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many people are not comfortable with authority. Some of them don't recognize any authority themselves, and they feel uncomfortable when they are called upon to exercise authority. The main source of trouble in the family today is that parents don't know how to exercise authority because they are uncomfortable with authority themselves. Authority has to be exercised with love, or it becomes tyranny. Many people find themselves just as uncomfortable with love. They talk about love, but don't want to have any part of it. Some even think of love as getting control of somebody else's life in order to satisfy one's own selfish purposes. That's the very opposite of love. It's one of the reasons people feel uncomfortable with real love. They can't give love. And they don't know how to accept love. Love is practical, and love works. Love has to be given, and love has to be received. This is a lesson we learn not so much from ourselves as from God, said St. John. It is not only the lesson God teaches, but the gift he gives in his Son, Jesus Christ. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In this is love perfected in us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. Being comfortable with love means being strengthened by love, heartened by love, being more of a man or woman because of love, rather than being torn apart, as so many people are, by the very thought of giving or receiving love. The word comfort means to strengthen greatly, rather than just to be put at one's ease. Although it is true that being sure of your strength puts you much more at ease with everyone. To live without love, never giving love to anyone, and never able to accept love from anyone, makes life a constant torment. There's always the possibility that someone will come along who will intrude on your privacy, that forbidden territory. You will be called upon to love someone else, or just as terrifying, to accept love from someone else. That is a sign of weakness, many people seem to think, and they are absolutely terrified of showing any signs of weakness. The reason people flare up and become almost brutal at the first sign of consideration from somebody else is that they are deathly afraid. You're not supposed to show any consideration for them because they don't need any consideration. They are strong, not weak. They are brutal and unafraid. Actually, they are both weak and afraid. There is no fear in love, said St. John, but perfect love casts out fear. So then love has not been perfected in anyone who is afraid, because fear has to do with punishment. That last sentence is a remarkable commentary on modern life. It explains a lot of things. It explains, for example, how a perfectly ordinary question asked by another member of the family gets a curt or even cutting reply. It explains why we expect others to wait on us, but we are so slow in helping them. It is the kind of thing that separates and divides. We think it shows how strong we are, and actually it shows how weak we are. We think it makes us look self-sufficient and unafraid, but it is seen by everybody else as a sign of dependency and insecurity. The fact is that we are uncomfortable with love, which casts out fear and is not afraid of the consequences. God is love, said St. John. That statement surely has been twisted by people who are uncomfortable with love. It has also been twisted by people who are uncomfortable with authority. If God is love, they say, why should he exercise authority? If God is love, why does he punish sin? If God is love, why does he hold all of us to account for what we are and what we have done? If God is love, why does he keep on bothering us? Why doesn't he just let us alone? And we'll let him alone. That's fine talk coming from people who have been created by God for a purpose, who have failed miserably not only to achieve God's purposes, but even their own purposes. As St. Paul said, we have all fallen short of the glory God has a right to expect of each one of us. There is no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Suppose for a moment that the two of us wanted to go to a football game. The cheapest tickets for this game are $3. You have $2, and I have none. Which one of us would get to go to that game? Neither of us, that's who. The fact that you have more than I do doesn't make any difference. Neither one of us is going to get in. Each one of us is a little bit short. I'm a little shorter than you are, but you're not going to make it either. Now suppose that a friend came along and gave us two tickets to that game. We could both get in. Even though you were better off than I to begin with, neither one of us would get into that game without those two tickets. You could buy us a couple of hot dogs after we got in, but we wouldn't be there eating those hot dogs if it hadn't been for those two tickets given us by that friend. Still, there are people who insist that their $2 will buy admission to the favor of God. Someday, and somehow, he has to recognize the good things they have done. He just has to be impressed with their good intentions. We have not been loving and kind, they say, but we have been good enough, about as good as anybody else. We are trying our best, and that just has to be recognized somehow. It is about time that idiocy of this kind comes to be recognized for what it is, a slap in the face of the almighty, holy, and righteous God. Who are we to be talking like that to him? Who are you to be peddling your little virtues seen through your own rosy-colored glasses? St. John was talking about God as he had come to know him from Jesus Christ. The fact is that he had come to know him in Jesus Christ. God showed his love for us by sending his own Son into the world so that we might have life through him. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice for us, as a means by which our sins might be forgiven. Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in union with us, and his love is made perfect in us. We have seen and tell others that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone declares that Jesus is the Son of God, he lives in union with God, and God lives in union with him. And we ourselves know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love. This is the good news of God that we have in Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't like to hear that kind of talk. Some of them are irreligious, and others are very religious. They would prefer to make it on their own. Faith in God is not necessary, and love toward one another is not necessary either. The fact is that we live in a world where God is love. It must be perfectly obvious that love, real love, is not the sentimental and sometimes tawdry thing that we make it out to be. It recognizes authority as God upholds authority, and recognizes love as God shows love. God is love. And that's love. It is love that caused God himself to put himself in our place and in the place of everyone in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. It was love that caused Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And it was love that brought him back from the dead as the Savior of the world. This is the glory of God that he loves. All of us have to live, of course, in a world that's dominated by fear. Even when you have faith in Christ and are growing in love, those fears have a way of getting through to you. Is someone ill in your family? Are you having trouble with someone? Are you worried about your job? Has some accident happened today that will change everything? Are you afraid for one reason or another? Afraid of getting too close to someone, maybe, for fear of what he or she might do to you? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness even in the day of judgment, because as he is completely sure of himself, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him. And for that reason, love one another. This is God-pleasing, to love one another. I've heard things called God-pleasing that were exactly the opposite of this. St. John says that this is God-pleasing. And I'll take his word for it rather than someone else's. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. This is the way to live. It's the way people who love God and have courage in the day of judgment live. It works right here and now. Anyone who loves the invisible God will love his visible brother also. If anyone says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Those are strong words. I did not make them up. John says them, and he means it. Love begins on your own doorstep. Love means treating people as God treats you. That's why it's so important to know the love of God, that he loves you and gave his Son to be a sacrifice for your sins. He puts us all in our place and then helps us all to understand that love begins right here where we are. Love is putting yourself in someone else's place, as God, out of his love, has put himself in your place. It is understanding things from your brother's point of view, even though you may disagree with him. It is helping him to understand things from your point of view, even when he disagrees with you. It is showing him that you love him in spite of everything. It won't settle every argument, but it will compose every quarrel. As anyone can see, that takes strength, real strength. It calls for all the faith that's in you to be comfortable with love, which means to be strengthened in love to do what has to be done in order to seek peace and pursue it. It is not peace at any price, but love working toward peace by making friends out of enemies. Abraham Lincoln was once accused of treating his opponents with too much courtesy and kindness, when others felt that it was his duty to destroy them. Lincoln replied, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" Those are the words of a man who cared enough about people to show his love, even when it hurt. You don't just fall into love like this. It's hearing the command of the Lord and following it. "This commandment," said John, "have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also." The commandment came from Jesus Christ himself. John knew him. John had talked with him. John leaned against his chest the night before he was crucified. John believed the Lord, and John loved the Lord. He tells us what the Lord said. "This new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." It takes faith in the Lord to be comfortable with that kind of love. It's the kind of love we need in the world today. It's the kind of love families need and husbands and wives need. It's the kind of love children need. It's the love that lasts when other loves fail or grow stale. At the bottom of every worthy affection, every beautiful relationship, is this love of which St. Paul said, "Love never fails." Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. You don't just fall into that kind of love. It comes and grows through the grace of God that forgives and gives and keeps on giving. Knowing what it means to be forgiven, it forgives and keeps on forgiving. It grows and grows until that which is perfect has come. It goes and it grows with faith that what is perfect in the love of God will come. It's a great way to live. It's the only way to live. It's the way of the Lord, who loved us and gave himself for us. It is powerful, like the love of God who raised his Son from the dead. Comforted by his power, be comfortable with his love. Amen.